Egyptians, seemingly inspired by the revolution in Tunisia, have flooded their streets with major protests this week, threatening the power of President Hosni Mubarak. The action started on Tuesday, dubbed the National Day of Anger, and continued yesterday and today. Midan al-Tahrir, or Liberation Square, in the capital Cairo, was filled with hundreds of thousands of people demanding exactly that, liberation from a repressive regime. The demonstrations have broken out in many different parts of Cairo, as well as all across the 85 million strong nation. The Egyptian government announced a ban on protests and public gatherings with a massive deployment of riot police. They have also restricted access to Twitter and Facebook. So far, at least 6 protesters and 1 policeman have been killed and hundreds rounded up. But protesters are not backing down, giving Mubarak the biggest challenge of his 30-year reign. Young activists are at the forefront, calling for an end to the regime, as well as for social, political, and economic reforms. Last June, a 28-year-old man named Khaled Saeed was allegedly tortured to death by Egyptian police after he posted a video of police sharing confiscated narcotics. Activists have set up a website and Facebook page called We Are All Khaled Saeed, which made a call for the demonstrations on Tuesday and seemed to be playing a significant role in what is happening. The U.S. has historically considered President Mubarak an even closer ally than Tunisia's Ben Ali. So far, the White House has said that it was keeping a close watch on the situation in Egypt and that it respects the universal rights of assembly and speech of all Egyptians. White House spokesperson Robert Gibbs said that Mubarak remains a, quote, close and important ally. Meanwhile, protests have also sparked in neighboring Jordan with major demonstrations in the capital Amman, and just today tens of thousands marched in Yemen. We're going live to Egypt to speak with Alex Ortiz. He's a student at the American University in Cairo. He's set up a live video stream of Tahrir Square in Cairo. Welcome to Uprising, Alex.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So first, how have the protests continued through today? We know that Tuesday and Wednesday were very big protests, but with the massive deployment of the riot police and serious clamping down, have they put a dent in people's ability to come out into the streets?
Well, what you've seen today in the streets has been mostly calm in downtown Cairo. Again, there is a massive security presence that's impossible to miss, with hundreds of troop trucks spread throughout the streets, riot police at every major street leading off of the downtown square, main downtown square, and other major public places in downtown Cairo. You haven't seen a huge number of organized protests in downtown Cairo today. There were minor, spontaneous protests involving hundreds of participants in both Helwan, which is a suburb of Cairo, and at the Journalist Syndicate. What seems to be happening today, though, is that people are gearing up towards a much larger series of demonstrations that are scheduled for tomorrow after the Friday prayers. That happens around noon. And it seems that the calm that you've seen today on the streets stems from that, stems from people preparing, organizing, getting ready for what they see are the coming clashes on the morrow. And this is especially important because what we've seen in the past couple of hours hints at that all the major political players in the opposition are sort of going all in on this for tomorrow. You have Mohamed El-Baradei, the Nobel Prize winner, the former head of the UN International Nuclear Weapons Inspection,
the IAEA,
flying to China. You also have the Muslim Brotherhood that has officially endorsed the protests for tomorrow. I think that's what we're expecting at this moment.
So you mentioned some of these major players, but who has actually been leading the protests on the ground? Has it been the traditional opposition, or have the protests been led by young people? It looks like we have unfortunately lost Alex Ortiz. We are, of course, trying to get him back right away, and such is the case usually with making live phone calls to the other side of the globe. Alex Ortiz is a student at American University in Cairo, and he has set up a live video stream of Tahrir Square, which is Liberation Square, Meydan al-Tahrir, in the capital, Cairo, where thousands, hundreds of thousands of people gathered on Tuesday. Later, we'll also go live to Lebanon to speak with Jackson Allers, who is a reporter with Free Speech Radio News, and he has done a lot of independent reporting from Beirut. We'll also be joined by Lamis Andoni from Jordan. Alex, do we have you back on?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry
okay,
about that.
So I was asking who exactly is leading the protests on the ground, even if the traditional members of the opposition have been coming out of the woodwork now, and people like Mohammed al-Baradei and the Muslim Brotherhood on the ground in terms of the protest leaders, has it been more of the young activists?
It certainly has. There's been a lot of university students who've been involved. A lot of educated folks in the middle class, internet savvy folks, but you've also seen people who've never been to a protest in their life show up, including elderly citizens and very young Egyptians. There's no one opposition party that's at the helm of these protests.
And tell us about Khaled Saeed, the 28-year-old man who was allegedly tortured to death by Egyptian police last year. His death has seemed to galvanize a lot of people. In Tunisia, it was the self-immolation of a street vendor that was the spark. The We Are All Khaled Saeed Facebook page was one, I believe, site that called for the protests on Tuesday. Are they a major force?
Yes, you're certainly right. They are a major force. And that Facebook page, actually, while Twitter and some other social networking sites that people use to communicate here were blocked, that Facebook page was the main hub of communications between the protesters, especially through certain hours on Tuesday and Wednesday. Khaled Saeed, as you mentioned in your intro, was a 28-year-old Egyptian man who was beaten to death by plainclothes police officers in Alexandria last year. His death sparked huge protests in Alexandria and in Cairo that were dealt with very harshly by the security forces. But he does remain an inspiration to the people who are out on the street, have been out in the streets this week, and who will go out tomorrow, and a potent symbol of the kinds of tactics, the heavy-handed tactics, that the Mubarak security regime does employ against anyone who dares to question.
I want to bring into the conversation Lamis Andoni, independent journalist and analyst with Al Jazeera. She joins us now live from Amman, Jordan. Lamis, welcome to Uprising. And can you begin by telling us whether you think what's happening in Egypt specifically is directly also inspired by what's happening in Tunisia?
Well, I think there were protests in Egypt before, and I think the situation was right in Egypt for such mass protests. But let's say Tunisia was a catalyst, and it really encouraged and inspired young people. It empowered young people to see that they could change, they could effect change. So the success of the uprising in Tunisia has definitely accelerated the events in the region, especially protests, and it gave people hope that if they protest, if they go into the streets, if they walk down the streets and speak up their mind collectively,
Lamis, we're having trouble understanding you. The phone line is pretty bad, so we're going to try to call you right back and hope to get you on a clearer landline. Lamis Andoni is an independent journalist and an analyst with Al Jazeera. I want to turn back to Alex Ortiz, who is a student at American University in Cairo. So, Alex, if the protests are being led largely by young people and by people who have not been involved in political political activism necessarily before. What role do you see more traditional opposition groups like the Muslim Brotherhood playing? Is there a danger that they may co-opt this movement and its energy, or is there a sense of support for traditional opposition groups among the young protesters?
Well, I think the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood in particular jumped on the wagon, so to speak, at the final hour is very telling. I think that there is a fear among protesters that I've talked to that traditional opposition groups like the Brotherhood will attempt to co-opt or turn the popular anger to their own ends. And I think that's why you see a lot of people very suspicious about, for example, Baradai's sudden arrival in Egypt. At the same time, what's really made these protests work is the fact that they are an expression of mass discontent that goes beyond any traditional opposition party. They represent a call from a new kind of middle-class poor that we've seen in Egypt, where people are despairing at the opportunities ahead of them.
Alex?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that there is a real momentum here that we haven't seen in any of the major demonstrations over the past, few years that have been at the hands of traditional opposition parties. And I think the hope is that it will continue to be all-inclusive and not simply to embody one particular agenda belonging to one opposition party or another.
Well, is it possible, Alex, that Mohamed El-Baradei could play a positive role, even if he is sort of flying in at the nth hour? Because he's coming in saying that he'd be happy to serve as interim president, which could be the most direct way or fastest way, perhaps, to get Hosni Mubarak to step down and provide this filling of a political vacuum that could then be taken up by protesters and their demands in time. Is it possible for El-Baradei to play a positive and constructive role?
Of course, I think that it is, personally. But I cited El-Baradei in particular just to the way that all the major known opposition figures have seem to jump at the opportunity to finally become part of something that launched without any of their help. I know, for example, on Tuesday, the mass demonstrations that happened without the support of a major socialist party called Etgemwa, which officially refused to endorse the protests. And other opposition parties in Egypt, took the opportunity of the national holiday being Police Day to have their offices closed in order to not have to take an official stand on these demonstrations. But again, it's not clear at this moment where this is going, and I certainly think that Baradei can play a positive role in the coming weeks, especially if things take a turn against the Mubarak regime.
I want to turn back to Lamis Andoni, who we have back on a different line. She is joining us live from Amman, Jordan. She's an independent journalist. Lamis, can you lay out the relationship between the United States and the Egyptian regime of Hosni Mubarak and how you assess the U.S.'s response to what's happening in Egypt?
The regime of Hosni Mubarak is very dependent on the U.S. in terms of financial aid and in terms of physical survival, especially since the signing in 1979 of the Israeli-Egyptian peace treaty. The consecutive governments have become closely allied with the U.S. But we have seen that in Tunisia, the moment that the U.S. concluded that the people arriving and the uprising could not be quelled unless there would be a massacre, it had dropped Bin Ali. So Washington has a record in dropping its allies, in dropping the regime's back. So if Hosni Mubarak thinks that it's easy for him to remain in power because of American backing, he should be careful, he should be well. However, Egypt is a more important country in terms of its geography for the U.S. Not a more important country in terms in absolute terms, but the regime in Egypt, because it has borders with Israel and because of the treaty with Israel, the survival of the regime is more important for the U.S. than the survival of the Tunisian regime, of the old Tunisian regime, or of the president of Tunisia.
Well, Lamis Andoni, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Lamis Andoni is an independent journalist and an analyst with Al Jazeera. Alex Ortiz, she was talking about how the U.S.'s relationship with Hosni Mubarak is much closer than its relationship with Tunisia's Ben Ali. And then there's the issue of Israel and the relationship between Egypt and Israel, which serves the United States and Israel. Can you explain for our listeners how these dynamics are playing into the protests? Are the protesters on the ground aware of and cognizant of the repercussions of the regional repercussions of what's happening?
Well, I think that the protesters on the ground are certainly cognizant of the repercussions that have been going on for over 30 years of U.S. backing to the Egyptian security regime. Every tear gas canister fired at demonstrations here in Egypt carries the words "Made in USA," and that's just a small sign of the over $1.6 billion in military aid the U.S. provides to Egypt every year. Again, I think that if the Mubarak regime were to be, if these demonstrations were to end up changing the Mubarak regime or toppling it, there would be a very significant realignment of power in the Middle East. Egypt has been the bastion of U.S. interests in the region for a long time, and that's visible in the fact that the U.S. embassy in Egypt was the biggest in the world until the U.S. embassy in Iraq was built, new one. So I think that yes, protesters and demonstrators and organizers and even just the common Egyptian citizen is very aware of the role the U.S. and Israel have played, the roles they have played in propping up this regime for so long. And I think that their anger towards this regime is in no small part because of its disconnectedness from the very people it governs and its closer relationship to foreign powers and foreign interests, who seem to care nothing about the 40 to 50% of Egyptians who live under the UN poverty line of $2 a day.
Well, Alex, President Obama in his State of the Union address made a very clear message of support to the Tunisians on their revolution, but didn't mention at all what was happening in Egypt, even though that was the first major day of demonstrations in Egypt. And I'm wondering if you think the U.S. is going to embrace a revolution in Egypt with the same enthusiasm.
Well, they certainly weren't very enthusiastic embracing the Tunisian revolution at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember a very lukewarm message of congratulations sent out from the State Department after that happened. But you're right, the State of the Union address was conspicuous in the absence of any comment, insofar as there was there was an absence of any comment about what is going on in Egypt currently.
And you know, this really unveils what's happening in these Arab countries, unveils and exposes U.S. hypocrisy around the region, with the U.S. claiming to be fighting for democracy in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, and then very happily supporting autocratic, undemocratic regimes in Egypt and places like Tunisia and other countries. And now with many people protesting in many countries, dictators insecure for the first time in many years, they're doing this without U.S. help.
Exactly. And that's what I think is so important to realize, that in what's in, as we look at what's going on across the region, that even though the United States is a country born out of a revolution, in all of its foreign policy dealings, it seems to very much dislike, you know, when people seem to organize and get together and demand through peaceful, nonviolent demonstrations the same human rights and you know, civil rights that the Constitution is founded upon and which the United States pays lip service to, you know, all the time. I think you're totally right. Yes, it is incredibly hypocritical of the State Department and the United States government to President Obama to mention the Tunisian example in the State of the Union, but not to say anything about what's going on in Egypt. And in fact, I remember Secretary Clinton said the other day that her first official comments on the matter were that Egypt is a stable and secular government that is dealing with its citizens and responding to its citizens' complaints. And any images, any video feeds you're able to watch from Cairo will, you know, put that claim to rest for good, because any regime that responds to a peaceful protest, to a peaceful demonstration, by unleashing thousands of plainclothes thugs carrying batons and metal bars to beat up protesters, by firing barrages of tear gas canisters that were made in the USA and rubber bullets into the crowd, by firing live ammunition above the heads in the crowd, you'll be able to see that what is happening here is incredibly undemocratic, is incredibly dictatorial, is emblematic of the security state. And we really see how much the United States relies upon the security state around the world, around its allies as a security state, in order to maintain its position in the international community and push through the kind of foreign policy it wants.
Well, Alex Ortiz, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Best of luck to you and stay safe. We'll certainly continue to follow this story as it unfolds. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, and very, very briefly, where can listeners check out your live video stream of Tahrir Square?
Yes, well, we've been on Tuesday night, we were able to live stream the crackdown on the demonstration as it happened. We had to go through several different websites, but the channel is currently located at www.justin.tv/CairoWitness, all one word. And there's nothing being broadcast now. You'll be able to see archival footage of that crackdown that happened two nights ago. And we will be trying to broadcast live the demonstrations tomorrow as they occur after Friday prayers around 1 p.m. Cairo time.
That's justintv.com/CairoWitness, and we'll link to that from uprisingradio.org later today. My guest has been Alex.
Justin.tv.
Justin.tv. Thank you. Justin.tv/CairoWitness. We'll link to that from uprisingradio.org. Alex Ortiz is a student at American University in Cairo.